T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of the Home Improvement Show. I have Courtney Fricke here with me, and we are talking challenges in the real estate market and also home improvement questions as well. So if you have any questions relating to those two topics, we would love to talk to you. You can call or text at 504-260-1870. And if you missed the tip of the week for real estate and you want to go back to the first hour, you can go to radio.com. Download that app, rewind, and listen to that as well. Courtney, during the break, we actually had a text said, hey, I'm a real estate investor. How can I find real estate investments that are available? Can you provide that information?
Sure thing. So that is a very, I'm not going to say a vague question, but there could be a lot of answers to it. Because first of all, what type of investments do you buy? Do you buy houses that you're looking to renovate and flip? Are you looking to buy houses that you keep as a rental? Are you looking for rentals? Do you want single family homes? Do you want multifamily homes? Do you want commercial properties? So there's a lot of answers there. So first and foremost, there is a few thoughts that come to mind. Is real estate investing is a team sport. So obviously there's factors like money, so you need a good lender. There's the real estate transactions, you need a good title company, you know, insurance, you need a good insurance provider. But also, you know, real estate agents help people in the buying and selling of properties. So having a good one on your side who can help you find these properties through, so the ones that are listed on the MLS are the ones that are listed on the, you know, public market, right? I also would recommend finding the local real estate investment club in your area, because there's often off-market deals. So the MLS is stuff that is on market. The off-market deals, though, will be stuff that in the local real estate investment communities you can often hear about. So, for example, I run the North Shore Real Estate Investors Association. You're welcome to join us. We're actually doing our first in-person meeting this coming Tuesday in Covington. And now it'll be COVID conscious, and we're going to be exploring the world of meeting a person like that. But wherever you may be, so maybe you're on the South Shore, maybe you're even all the way to, you know, the Florida Panhandle, there are local real estate investment clubs in your area. Some of them are free, some of them are paid. Getting in those, you can network with other like-minded investors, and you can find out more ways. Now, those are two easy answers there. Now, there's other answers out there. For example, there are auctions, plenty of auctions. You could just Google real estate auction in my area. You can find everything from, you got the Home Path, you know, those are on the MLS. You got the HUD store. You've got your local foreclosure auction. I mean, there's a ton of different ways like that. Here's the biggest thing is deals are not very plentiful right now. Okay. I would call this in a level that we're at the height of the market. Real estate deals are not necessarily plentiful. When they come, there's usually multiple offers, or depending on if they're public on the market or whatnot. So understand that it takes some patience. It also takes being connected to different places where you can hear about these deals and being educated on ways you can find them. And here's the thing, is a real estate deal, a real estate investment, you have to understand what you're looking for. Are you looking for something that needs just paint and flooring? Or are you, you know, something that maybe has partially caught fire and you need to renovate, you know, 70% of the house? there's a wide range there. So, again, get connected to some educational sources and some relationships. Real estate investing is a team sport. So understand that part and get connected and find out what it looks like in your area because, you know, I know in my area what the auctions look like. I know stuff that's – I'm connected to on-market deals and off-market deals, and it's going to vary from area to area to region, you know, the whole region.
If someone was interested on the off-market deals that are available on the North Shore, some of the deals that may be available, where would they go? Is there a website?
So one that I would recommend is so first and foremost, if you are on Facebook and you're in the Southeast Louisiana region, I would recommend going to facebook.com/groups/SELA investors. So again, if you're on, so that's the actual link to it, or if you just research Southeast Louisiana real estate investors. There's a group, there's about 2,000 investors from our area, also real estate professionals. So you can find out about deals on there. So that's one way that I'd recommend finding a place online.
Okay, good deal. Great information as always. Thanks, Courtney. Hey, let's go to the phone lines and speak with Thomas. Hey, Thomas, good afternoon. Thanks for holding.
Mr. LeBron, how you been doing?
Fantastic. How about yourself?
Oh, well, you know, I got a problem. But anyway, I've got a roofer that's coming out here, a one king. I've got some bad, you know, roofing that's, you know, and he wanted to fix the leaks in the roof, but I got some bad sheeting underneath, and I told him I wanted that changed. And he's saying that, well, maybe you don't need to change the sheeting right now. We'll just let me do the roof and change the shingles. I don't think that's right. I think that it always should be that when you got a leak and the sheeting is bad underneath, you should change that too.
Yes, sir. Mr. Thomas, I would agree with you on that. If the roof decking is bad because of the roof leak, if it's deteriorated, that roof decking needs to be replaced. I agree with you.
Yeah, and also, what about getting someone to oversee work, you know, because it's getting to the point where I just have too much trouble with people coming out and they want to do it their way. They don't want to listen. And, you know, what do you think about having someone just to monitor the work? And I just pay them to monitor it. Would that be wise?
If you can find someone that is qualified to do that, and has the skill set and the knowledge and the time and the willingness to serve in that capacity, I think that's a great idea. You know, most times a general contractor serves in that capacity, but it's difficult to find a general contractor to do small projects. It's not impossible. It's just challenging to do it. But if you come across someone you can trust, by all means, I think that's an excellent idea.
And the sheathing definitely needs to be changed when you're doing a roof, right? Where it's leaking up under the shingles, you know, where it's rotted or bad spots, you should change the sheathing, right?
Yes, sir. If it's decayed or rotting, that by all means, if that plywood or that OSB decking is deteriorated, I would cut it out and replace it.
Yeah, that's what I was telling him. Yeah, okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. LeBron.
Yes, sir, Mr. Thomas. It was great talking to you. Thanks for holding on. Hey, we're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, Herb is up next. If you are on hold, stay on hold. We'll come right back to you. And we also will start answering some of these texts here on the Home Improvement Show. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Let's go back to phone lines and speak with Herb. Hey, Herb, thanks for holding on. Good afternoon.
Thanks for taking my call. I listen to your show every Saturday. Great show as usual.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Air quality. I noticed there are a lot of dust particles in my house. I was thinking about looking up that IQ Air company who do the hair, provide the air purifiers for the homes. What do you think?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that?
Well, listen, dust in the South, because we have so much moisture, is problematic. So when you're trying to get a handle on a dust problem, I like to somewhat manage your expectations as well, is that we'll never get rid of dust completely. We can greatly reduce it, and there's a number of ways we can do that. And so some of the contributors to high dust in your home would be duct leakage, negative pressures and positive pressures, depending on, you know, what mechanical systems are operating, and also how well your building envelope, meaning your floor, your walls, and your ceilings, are air sealed and insulated to separating that from the outside or from the attic. And, you know, I have lots of clients that, you know, I'll go to their homes or their business and they complain about dust. And, you know, there's lots and lots of recess can lights in the ceiling, and those recess can lights aren't properly sealed, and they have lots of dust that come from the attic into the living space through each one of those openings. And when you have that opening and you have a negative pressure, it draws in that dust and the heat and the moisture from the attic. And then you have the dust that's inside your ductwork. And then there's the dust you bring in and out of your house on your shoes or if you're pets. So there's lots and lots of things that contribute to dust. So I'm hoping I gave you enough information to at least start piquing your interest of what may be happening in your home and what you can look for and improve. You know, the simple things about, like, dust on your shoes, a really good quality doormat both on the inside and the outside of every door. I have that at my home, so that, and of course, get in the habit of wiping your feet as you're coming in. Not having negative pressures, not having the duct leaks, having good filtration with a pre-filter and a primary filter. We were talking about that earlier with when Ms. Shirley was calling and asking about HEPA filters. Controlling indoor relative humidity, you know, having that 50%, 45 to 50% relative humidity throughout your home. All these things are great strides in reducing dust at your house. Now, I have all those things, and I still have dust in my home. So, it's like I said, you're not going to get rid of it, but you can greatly improve it.
I do notice that, dust in the ducts, yeah.
And it may be that you have duct leakage, or perhaps you're using the wrong return air filter, or you're not changing your filter often enough. There's a lot to that, Herb. There really is.
Do you need to use a cleaner on your sidewalk when you're using your pressure washer?
Depends what you're trying to get off of it. Normally, I don't.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, normally the straight water would do it.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. You bet. Thank you for calling. Appreciate the call. We got a couple of texts. Hey, if you have a text, that number is 504-260-1870. You can send me some text. Let me look at a few of them because y'all been sending some good ones in today. All right, so our first text today says, hey, I'm going to repair an old hose. The repair splice is in the middle of the hose. Any recommendations on which repair kits are best? Man, that is a tough spot to have a repair. And the reason for it is because, at least the way I use my garden hoses, is I connect them to the faucet and the other end. I'm dragging and bring them to the other side of the yard. So, you know, you're going to make sure that if you're putting a repair in the center of the hose, it can withstand the strain and the stress of being pulled and dragged around your yard. So what I've done in the past when I've had to do this, I've gotten a brass splice that's got barbs on both sides, put in the hoses on both those barbs and put some hose clamps. I would actually use two hose clamps on both the downside and the upside. And I take a bunch of duct tape and I duct tape all the way across from the hose over the hose clamps. I would keep wrapping and wrapping to get the other side. And I'll do multiple wraps that way, multiple layers. And the reason for the duct tape is not to keep it together. The duct tape is to help it slide across your grass, where the hose clamps are going to get caught in your grass and other obstructions, you're dragging it in your yard. So that's the way I would repair a hose. Let's go to another text. Hey, Courtney, actually, this one is for you. It says, in Louisiana, does a residential home have to appraise for a sales price or just the value of the bank loan? Thanks, Tony.
So that's a good question. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes in the intro, you'll explain kind of who I am and my role. One thing I will always kind of lead with is that I'm not a licensed real estate agent, meaning that I don't practice in the buying of selling homes helping people buy and sell homes. But what I will say is, as someone who has bought a ton of properties and someone who's an educator on the real estate investment world, I can speak to that extent. So I just want to make that clarification up there. Here's what I've noticed in situations. For example, I've bought homes, renovated them, and sold them on the retail market. There, I have multiple realtors who are on my team and my staff. So here's some things that I've seen is I have seen people who have fallen in love with a piece of real estate. Okay. It's their forever home or their for right now home. And either way, they have fallen in love with it and they want it. And let's say the asking price is $200,000. Well, an appraisal happens. And that appraisal, let's say it comes back at $190,000. So obviously there's an issue there. Well, obviously the buyer's realtor probably will go to the seller and say, hey, let me show you the data from the appraisal. Can we go down to 190? And they say, no, 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 we're not going down. And the buyer doesn't want to lose the deal. The seller's not willing to come down off of the price, even with the appraisal. So what do you do? There's a few things I'd recommend. Because obviously your lender is not going to up the price because they're not going to overlend on a property that does not appraise. Because then that puts the lender in a risky place, right? So what I've seen two things happen. First, I've seen buyers who fall in love with it. Well, if they can't get the seller to come down, then what they do, if they're in love with that property, they will bring the $10,000 to the table. Do I recommend that? No. To a degree, no. Actually, not even to a degree. I just don't. I wouldn't recommend it for family. Why? Because at that point, if you're only doing that just to get into a home that you love, there's a level that you can say, hey, you know, for comfort and value of living there, go into it. But then the second, the concern is with equity. You don't want to get into a position where you're upside down on the value of your home. But the second part is that you then hire your own appraiser and you look at it. Sometimes there have been times where I have disagreed with appraisals that they just did not do it right. So that's one thing that I would look at. I honestly, Tony, I don't know what your situation looks like. You're more than welcome to call in the show. We can talk a little bit further. But I've seen one of those two things. Here's the easier part. Consider hiring your own appraisal. Have your realtor run comps. See if there's actual data out there that you think that maybe their appraisal just missed it. And maybe if you go back and you do a second, you get a better appraisal. It can come back and it can properly appraise if you believe the data is there to support it. It's worth spending the money on that appraisal.
Great advice. Hey, Tony, if you would like to get more specific with your question and get some really detailed advice on what you can do and how you can overcome this challenge, send an email to Courtney. Her email address is yourlocalrealestatesolution@gmail.com. That's all one word, yourlocalrealestatesolution@gmail.com. So hopefully that helped and pointed you all in the right direction. And if you're on Facebook, you can search Courtney Fricke or Your Local Real Estate Solution. You can see her Facebook sites there. And her website is yourlocalrealestatesolution.com. If you want to text her, you can text her, 985-202-5553. Hey, welcome back. Right before the news break, Courtney was talking about appraisals relating to real estate. Is the appraisal have to come to the sales price or the value of the bank loan? And it's a text that Tony sent in. And we actually had someone that texted in their feedback. And I love when our listeners participate in the show. So thank you for doing that. So, Courtney, what did they text you? Describe it to me.
Sure thing. Hey, look, and this is an important topic because, look, I'm looking to buy a new house for myself as a primary. And sometimes the value of that house can be very subjective for a number of reasons. It could be in a rural area and there's not a lot of comparables, or it can be in an area where there's different types of homes, so there's not a lot of apple to apple comparisons. And so sometimes the appraisals they're subjective. They may miss the mark. And so, look, like I said before, real estate is a team sport. I believe that for investing, but also if you're buying your home to live in, it's a team sport. So my friend Robert, who's a lender, he sent me a text. He's with one of the banks that I work with, and he said, hey, keep this in mind. And he gave me a tip. He said, if someone is having an issue with an appraisal, so Tony, who sent in the text, talk to your lender. Because he said there's been times that they've been able, when everyone doubted the appraisal and there was, you know, a strong case for it, they've worked with you know, with them to get another appraisal, to take a second look. Obviously, you want people on your team who are good problem solvers. And if there's reason to believe that, hey, they want to get the deal done, they want to get it across the closing table. So find a way, find a solution. And so get with your lender and see, you know, obviously, again, get with your, if you're working with a real estate agent as well, and see if that's an option for you.
I love it when our listeners participate in the show, and because we can't think of everything in 20 seconds or less. And that was a great, great idea. So I appreciate that. Hey, if you're facing a real estate challenge and you want to reach out to Courtney, send her a text. It's 985-202-5553, 202-5553. She would love to help you, or you can actually send her email at yourlocalrealestatesolution@gmail.com. Hey, let's go to phone lines and speak with Keith. Keith, thanks for holding on. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. My question is, I got a double garage, and I want to see about insulating it to get the temperatures down to something decent. And I've got another question is it normal for your AC unit to run 16 to 18 and a half hours a day? And that's my question.
When you say 16 to 18 hours a day, that is like in today's weather, like last week, this week?
It's in like last week, and the last 3-4 days it's been running pretty much like that. And okay, when I bought the house, it was a 2.5-ton central air unit, and it looked like each year that I have it, it gets less and less efficient.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's okay, normal wear and tear, or maybe it might be time to look into getting another one.
Right. All right. So let me address your second question first. And if I run out of time, I'll put you on hold, Keith, and we'll go back to your garage question. But since we're talking about air conditioning, let me hit that one first. It is a standard air conditioning unit that just turns on and off, single speed machine. It is very uncommon for this time of year for it to run 16, 18 hours in a 24-hour period. That's, you know, that's highly unusual. Now, if you would say, hey, it's running for, 12 to 13, 12 to 14, I would say, okay, that's not terrible. But 16 to 18, and we're not in the peak of our summer yet, there's something happening there. It's not removing the heat out of your house fast enough or effectively. And that could be not necessarily relating to the equipment. It could be your ductwork, or it could be a combination of your equipment and your ductwork. Air conditioning systems are all about airflow. So if your ducts are not designed properly and not installed properly, and they're leaking or they're undersized, they can't get the air back to the machine to remove heat and remove moisture. And then you also got to keep in mind, too, and you mentioned 2.5 tons, as the outside air temperature increases during the peak of the day, at the peak of our summer, that machine's not operating at 2.5 tons. Its capacity decreases as the outside temperatures increase. So it can't dissipate heat in that outside air as easily as it can at nighttime when it's 75 degrees versus daytime when it's 95 degrees. So, you can definitely tell at the peak of the summer, at the peak of the day, those air conditions sometimes just struggle when things are just not right. So, hey, I ran against the clock. I need to go to commercial break. Keith, I'm going to ask you to hold on, and I want to come back and address your question about your air conditioning.
Okay, I'll wait.
He just said he's fine, the producer.
Sorry, Doug, my producer, says fine. Keep on going. All right, so let's talk about insulation and air conditioning in your double car garage. What do you plan on doing with that? Is that could be like a workshop or it's a mechanic shop, or you just want to storage things in your garage? What's your thoughts? What are you doing?
Well, I'd like to be able to go in there and do some work. As of right now, I won't be able to go in that garage till October because it's going to be up to 120 degrees in there. And I do artwork, and I know it's kind of hard to go in there during the summer and do artwork, but it's at the point now, 6-7 months out of the year, I can't even go in there. So I guess I like to be manageable enough where I can go in there and do something without sweating like a pig.
Okay.
Now, I know the.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I know the attic above it doesn't have any insulation. And I'm sure the outside walls don't have insulation. So do you think if I just insulated that, that might help it a little bit?
I do. In fact, I'm going to ask you to, if you're going to phase this in, I would say insulate the ceiling first with a good quality installed R30 insulation. And then I would go as far as, and this is a rare occurrence for me to say this,
right.
I would install a radiant barrier on the underside of the roof rafters just over your garage.
Okay.
The reason I say that's rare is because most times, radiant barriers produce moisture problems on cool surfaces in the attic, like your air-conditioned ductwork. But you don't have
right.
any air-conditioned equipment or ductwork over your garage. So you're looking to reduce some of the radiant heat coming from the sun, and radiant barriers function well for that purpose. So
right.
a radiant barrier you can put on the bottom side of your rafters just over the garage, and ceiling insulation like equal to an R30 would help your scenario a lot. Moving fans, a ceiling fan or an isolating fan, would also help. If you want to put in a window unit, you can do that too. Just keep in mind that the dust you're creating from the projects you have in the garage is going to get the filter in that window unit dirty really fast. You got to stay on top of it. Like every 2 weeks, you got to clean that filter, or if not, you got to tear up that unit.
Oh, okay. Would you know anybody who does that? Can you recommend somebody who does that type of work?
Who does the insulation and the radiant barrier?
Right, yes.
Yeah, so are you North Shore or South Shore? Where are you?
South Shore, right here in Algiers.
Okay, good deal. All right, go to Builders Insulation. Builders Insulation. Look them up, Google, do a little Google search or whatever your favorite search engine is. Builders
okay.
Insulation, and they do both the loose fill insulation, like I'm describing to you, as well as the radiant barrier.
Right. What's the name of it?
All right, Mr. Keith.
How do you spell that?
Builders, like a builder, a contractor. B-U-I-L-D-E-R-S. Builders.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Insulation.
Builders. Okay.
Yes, sir.
And one last, I know
right,
you got to go.
Keith.
So what would you suggest I do with the, about the air conditioner running 16 and a half? Get somebody to check it?
Yeah, listen, go to paulshouse.com. Go to heating and air conditioning contractors. You see the folks I recommend for your region on the South Shore in Algiers, and they'll be happy to help you.
Okay, all righty. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Keith. Have a good day. All right, folks,
all right.
We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. Welcome to the lightning round. We have three callers and probably 10 texts I haven't gotten to yet, so we could do this really, really fast. Hey, Coco, good afternoon. How can I help?
Yeah, Mr. Paul, two questions. Was your father in the construction business?
No, sir, he was not.
Okay. Well, I got a metal roof. I got a vent that's going through the metal roof, and it's leaking. Can you give me a phone number of somebody that could take care of that for me?
Yes, sir. So I want you to reach
out to Mr. I ain't a
All
computer
right.
guy, Paul.
I understand. That's why I'm going to give you a number directly. Gentleman's
All
name
right.
is Lonnie Lonnie Smith.
All right.
Lonnie Smith.
Lonnie O'Reilly.
L-O-N-N-I-E. Guarantee sheet metal works.
L-O-N-I-E. All right. And what's the number, Mr. Paul?
504-466.
04-466. 466-3-7-3-7-4-9. Okay, I'm going to run it back to you. 504-466-3-7-4-9. His name is Lonnie, L-O-N-I-E.
Yes, sir.
All right, man, I'm a Marine. I enjoy your show. It's the first time I ever called you.
Hey, Mr. Coco, thank you for your service. And I would imagine
you
could tell everybody to go out and vote today, huh?
Everything.
Yes, sir. No, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, good luck with that leak. All right, let's go into our next call and speak with Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Fantastic. How can I help you?
All right. Well, I have the other about a week ago, I noticed it was getting real hot in my house. I have a house that was built in the 60s, and it has a crawl space, and the air condition runs through the bottom of the house and comes up like the vents are on the floor. So I went around, yeah, and I felt the vents, and I noticed two of the vents were not blowing. So I went underneath the crawl space, and boy, did I realize we had some problems underneath there. First of all, the beams are rotting and the floor is buckling up. I noticed the floor buckling in the house. Like I said, it's an older house. And the crawl space is surrounded by brick. There's only two grills, like 1 by 2 feet grills on each side of the house to let the ventilation. Now, what happened with the air condition was the vents, when I went to the vents that were not blowing, the ducts had came loose from the vent because they were filled with water from condensation. Like, you got the hot humidity outside and you got the cool air blowing. And so the water weighed it down and it would fall off. So I dumped out like about a gallon or two of water from those ducts, and it was all moldy. So I called somebody to just replace the ducts. And what my question is what I realized that a crawl space in the South is just not a good idea, and that's why they don't do it anymore. But like I said, it's an older house. But what can I do to ensure that I'm getting some humidity out of there and keep ventilation? I've heard a couple of things, like a vapor barrier. I don't even know what that is. I've heard of a sealing off the vents to trap, to not let humidity in. I've heard of a dehumidifier, a pump. My first question is, what would you suggest? And the second question would be, is there a company that you know of that specializes in ventilating a crawl space?
Yes, sir. So, first of all, what you just described is something I see quite often here in the Gulf South for older raised homes.
Uh-huh.
Even new homes sometimes still have these same problems. You need to protect your equipment from reaching dew point and condensing. You need to protect your floor assembly from the moisture. My first step that I'm suggest you do, Jeff, if I was you, is I'm gonna ask you to reach out to our sister company, Energy and Comfort Solutions, and
Energy
they function
and
in the manner. Yes, sir. They are the masters of moisture control, and they will be happy to come to your home, take an assessment of what's happening there, and give you some options. Normally, it's not just one option; it's multiple options. But occasionally, we get to a house and it's only, you know, you can only do this one thing because of your circumstances. So go to paulshouse.com, the website paulshouse.com. Select your region, and then for the type of service, put in insulation.
Okay.
And you're gonna see the contact. Energy and Comfort Solutions.
Oh, right.
Reach
and then
out
Paul's
to
house.
Yeah. Reach out to Lewis at ECS. He'll be happy to come to your home and give you some options on what you can do to address this moisture problem.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Paul.
Yes, sir. You bet. Good luck, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call.
All right.
We have one more caller. His name is Paul. Paul, if you got a real quick question, I'm hoping I can get you in before the end of the show. What you got? Hey, Paul, you there?
Yes.
All right. Hey, I was about to hang up on you. Good afternoon.
What makes wall plates warp?
Moisture, differential pressures, negative pressures, but it's mostly a poor air control layer on the backside of that exterior wall or that attic wall. You got high intense pressure and moisture on one side coming through that wall plate because there's something wrong with the building thermal envelope and or the air conditioning systems that are causing, or exhaust fans that are causing negative pressures.
Okay, so what do you do about it?
I've seen them curl like potato chips. They got so much pressure on one side. You need to figure out if the differential pressure exists, and if it does, come up with some solutions, and also what's wrong with the thermal envelope, the building envelope, and come up with solutions to that. If If you want, you can reach out to our office on Monday, speak with Sherry Boudreau, and you can make an appointment, and we can come to your place of business or your home and tell you what's wrong with it and how to fix it.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Hey, that phone number is 845-2148. Folks, man, it's a fast 2 hours. We will be back on, Courtney and I will be back on next Saturday. In the meantime, if you need to reach us, text Courtney at 985-202-5553, or you can actually...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.